Thanks for taking the time to listen to this weekly sermon from Southside Baptist Church in Florence, South Carolina. Our vision is to know God and to make Him known, and we now offer two services on Sundays. Our classic service begins at 9 a.m., and our modern service begins at 11:15 a.m., and it's also streamed on Facebook Live. Please visit our website at southsidenow.church so you can find out more about how we are helping make and grow disciples in the Florence area. For now, sit back and take in today's message from God's Word.
And it is so good to see Miss Jackie Brown back at church. Miss Jackie, we're so glad to see you. Give her a hand. She had back surgery, I don't know, 5-6 months ago. And you did. And it's so good to see you. Thankful for, but she's a tough lady, man, tough lady. Back surgery is no fun, so we're so glad to have you back. Paul and the band did great, but I kind of messed them up this morning a little bit. I normally turn off my mic, so if you're like, man, the music didn't sound quite right like it normally does, it's because I was singing like two of the songs with them, right? So they probably heard it in their ears, and so I'm like, man, I wonder if it went on Facebook Live. I apologize to those watching here this morning, but you know, it is what it is. I love to sing; I'm just not a very good singer, but so I didn't realize I was putting on a concert to the band, and so I'm sure they're impressed, and they'll write all their friends. Probably not, anyway. But we're so glad to see you. We're in part two of our series called Red, and we're studying and looking at some of the different red letters that Jesus spoke to us and what He wants us to know. And I'm so excited about this series and what God's going to do. How many of you are familiar with the term catfishing? I'm not going to catch actual catfish, right? But catfishing is kind of relatively a new term, especially with technology as it has advanced. And we have, of course, the internet on our phones, a little bit of this and that. And catfishing, if you're not real familiar with it, it basically is when you think you're talking to somebody who looks like Brad Pitt, but they end up looking like Shrek. That's catfishing, right? Now, sometimes they could be trying to scam you, like the famous emails of the Nigerian prince, who, if you just give me your bank account, I will, you know, send you $1 million or whatever amount. That's catfishing. It's frauding. I remember it's been years ago. I think the guy's still in the NFL, but there was a Notre Dame linebacker who ended up getting catfished by someone. He claimed he had a girlfriend, but he had never met her, and she ended up not being real. Then he told everyone that she died, and it was a very, everyone remember that? That was very awkward and weird, it happened a couple years ago. But there are people, there are products, even, you know, sometimes religion can be, catfish somebody. They appear to be something, and then they end up being completely something else. I remember a product when I was a kid that if you're about my age, if you're about 40, right, you can remember as a kid that Nintendo came out with the Power Glove. Yes, the Power Glove. And in the commercial, this is exactly what the kid said. The kid said, I love the Power Glove. It's so bad. And in 80s slang, bad meant cool. It meant good. And so, but the fact is, literally, he was right. The thing was awful. It was bad. I had one. I spent like a week trying to set this thing up, getting the sensors all in the right spot. This Power Glove, you're punching in. It's supposed to be like a virtual reality. You move your fingers, you move your hands, and you can play these different games. And I got to work like one time, and that was it, right? But believe it or not, they're worth like $70 or $80. I'm not sure what happened to it. Maybe one of my brothers has it now, or it ended up in a dumpster where it belonged. You know, it's just a piece. So it's kind of nostalgic now of having one, but it was something that it would not get connected. You worked and worked, and if you thought you had it, then it wouldn't work the next time. It would not stay connected. And so there are things in life that we think are the real deal, that are the true thing, that end up being false. There are things that we end up buying and we end up getting that we simply just can't get connected. And there are in our lives and around, there are times where there are false vines. And what we're going to look at today is talking about Jesus being the true vine. Now, to get a little background here, in the Old Testament, the nation of Israel was looked at as a vine. But the nation of Israel, they did not listen to what God wanted them to do. In fact, that they were considered to be a wild vine, a corrupt vine. So Jesus comes into the scene, right? He starts his ministry. The Pharisees, the Israelites, the religion appeared to be one thing, but it really was another. It was a wild vine. It was false. It was not real. And sometimes in folks' mind, they have people's minds, they think to themselves, well, isn't really all religion just the same? Are they all serving the same God? And the answer is no. They're not. They really are not. There is a difference. And ultimately, Christianity is about God reaching down to mankind and offering grace. Everything else is about you either becoming your own God or doing your good works to try to reach and be God or be with God and doing your works in order to earn that. And so there are many false vines that we can try to get connected to instead of Jesus Christ. So let's read here. In verse 1 of John chapter 15, verse 1, it says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do not bear fruit so they will produce even more. And you have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. Let's just stop right there here in verse 3. It's telling us that this is a message to believers, okay? Not to those who do not know, but those who have already been pruned, who've already been purified, who've already been set apart. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit in it if it is severed from the vine. And you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine. You are the branches. And those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. And such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. And this brings me great glory to my Father. So Jesus is making it very clear and very simple. He is not a vine. He is the true vine. Just as he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one gets to the Father except through me. He is saying, I am the true vine. You need to remain in me. You need to abide in me. You need to be with me. And in our lives, it's easy. It's easy to try to connect to other things that we think will bring us peace, that will satisfy us, that will help us. And in the end, they just end up having a bitter taste. And Christian, this is referring to you here this morning. To you, to me. That in our lives, that Jesus is the one who satisfies. He's the one who nourishes our souls. You see, there's many things that we can easily, that this flesh wants to go towards, that we want to connect to instead of Jesus. Sometimes it could be that we put our faith and our trust maybe in our money instead of the Lord. Nothing wrong with money, but when we love money, we find the root of all evil. Maybe for us, it's material things. It's material things that we're not connected, and so we're trying to find something to pacify us, something to connect us. And so we think to ourselves, well, this new item or this new fad or this new car or this, that it will complete us. It will help us. It could be even in relationships. We may think to ourselves that I really will have peace and be satisfied once I get married. But then we get married and we realize the other person's not perfect either. And then you realize that, okay, that's not going to bring the complete peace I'm looking for. Though it adds to your life, though it helps you in your life, it doesn't complete you. Only Christ can. Only abiding in him can you find what you're really looking for. Maybe then you get married and you think, well, if I just have children, we'll have children and then it'll make life so much easier. It doesn't, right? It doesn't. In fact, it ends up taking anything that it's in your marriage that may be a problem and it puts a magnifying glass on it, doesn't it? Or any issues you have internally that you're wrestling with. Maybe because you're not abiding in Christ, it just magnifies it. It does. It does. And children are a wonderful gift from the Lord. Your spouse is a wonderful gift from the Lord. And there's things that you learn as you become a parent because you have children. You end up realizing how much God loves us. You get a glimpse of it, at least, and how patient He is with us and how we should be patient with our children and how we have been forgiven. We should forgive our spouse. We should forgive those who are around us. And so Jesus, He's mentioning here ways in which we can benefit in our lives spiritually from being connected to what is true. And the very first thing, and notice with verse 1 and verse 2, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that does not produce fruit. He prunes the branches that do not bear fruit, so they will produce even more. Jesus wants to maximize your life. Christian, He wants to maximize your life. In order to do that, He has to prune. Now I want to say this. The subject of this illustration that Jesus is giving is the fruitlessness of the believers, not their salvation. So when we read this passage here, and we end up coming to, what verse is it here? He ends up saying in, I think it's verse 6 here, yeah. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. Is this talking about, well, you can lose your salvation, God's going to throw you into a pile, and then He's going to burn? No, this is actually talking about a vineyard. That the branches you take off in a vineyard that are not producing, that's literally what it's talking about. So it's not an allegory here. It's not giving an example of that being you. No, it's literally talking. This is what happens. So Jesus is giving this illustration. They would have been very familiar with the vineyard. They had them all over the place. They're all over Israel. And so He's given this illustration to them. And the Lord wants to maximize your life. And I tell you, in this life, and you ever stop for a moment and you think back, especially when you start having, you know, kids, you go, what did I do before kids? I had all this time, and then you get kids, and of course, you know, you got to raise those kids, parent those kiddos, and kids are, you know, they're needy, right? They need things, especially the younger they are, and they grow up a little bit, they can kind of maintain themselves for the most part. But as you grow, and as you grow in this life, you realize that you have more and more and more that's kind of piled on. You end up with so many things going on in your life. Some of you, maybe you're in your retirement age. I've heard my father say this. He said, man, I'm busier now than when I, after I retired than before I was retired. And maybe that's you. Any of you like that? Like, hey, man, I'm going. I do this part-time job. I help out here, I help out there. And you're busy all the time. We all are busy. And what ends up happening is that as we live this Christian life and as we get busy, and man, we as Christians, we are busy people. We are busy. But what ends up happening is if we are always adding things into our life and we're never subtracting anything, that could be a good thing. It doesn't have to be a bad thing. The bad things are very obvious. I should not do this, right? That's not good for me. But sometimes there's things that are good in our lives that we really need to take out. We become a spiritual hoarder. We have too many things piled up. It's hard to get things done because we have too much. We don't have any margin in our life. And I found that I'm the most creative when I allow and I set aside some margin for myself to dream, to think. And whether it's sermon or whether it's something with my family, I need to set aside some margin. But if I never have any margin in my life, and I'm not setting aside time to think, time to use my time wisely, what I need to get rid of, then I end up missing out on that time. You see, when you need that time in your life. I think back of, there was a house, the first house we bought, had a huge apple tree. It was just a huge apple tree in Ohio. And the neighbor said, man, that thing hasn't produced apples in years. And it was a beautiful apple tree. I thought, man, I'd love to have some apples out of that tree. Well, I had one of those mowers that you stand behind and that, you know, you turn with the brakes
And though I'm not a very tall guy, the branches on the tree were so low that I'm like, I need to get rid of those so I can end up mowing faster underneath this tree. And so I just trimmed the lower portion that was taller than me so I could, you know, mow underneath this tree. And the next year, I had just apples everywhere. I didn't even really prune the tree. I just took out some of the lower branches. And so it was able to give the nutrients, have enough leftover nutrients to not just worry about surviving, but to give off fruit. And so sometimes in our life, it's the same way, whether it's a vineyard, whether it's an orchard, or it's just a tree that you have in your house that gives off fruit, that you can have too much going on, and so you're not producing the fruit in which God wants in you and out of you because you simply have too many things connected in your life. And when you have so many things connected in your life, it could be that you've missed out on the main connection, and that being connected and remaining and abiding in Jesus Christ. See, the process isn't always easy. In fact, I'm sure if a tree that's being pruned could talk, or a vineyard that's could talk while it's being pruned, it would say, ouch, right? It would say, ouch, that's no fun. And being pruned, it never is fun. It never is fun. But when you are abiding in Christ and remaining in Him, here's the wonderful thing, that the Holy Spirit is given to live inside of us, to guide us, to help us. He also will prune us. He'll show you maybe even something good that needs to be taken out and taken away. It could be that you're in so many ministries that you're burning yourself out. You know, and it could be that you're here and you're not involved in any ministry. And God's like, I need you to be fruitful. See, but I would have to cut out some things. I would have to do this. That's the point, my friend. Listen, we're called to seek first the kingdom of God. And if we're not doing that, if we're not centering and using our resources, our time, and everything that God has given us to put Him in the center, to rearrange our life around Him, then we're not abiding in Christ like He's called us to do. We're called to abide. We're called to be with Him. See, when you're abiding in Christ, when you're abiding in Him, you will prioritize differently than the rest of the world. When you are abiding in Christ, you're going to focus on different things that maybe people who are not in Christ or other Christians who are not abiding in Christ will focus on. You'll look at life differently. So what are some things that he likes to prune away? Here's some things he could prune away, and it could be this in your life. The first thing is time-wasting activities. Yeah. Maybe some of you Gamecock fans felt that way yesterday, I'm sure. Like, man, I just wasted my whole like 3 hours here this morning. I feel for you guys. I'm not poking fun. I want you guys to win. I do. You guys are, you know, you've been beaten up enough, right? And so I want you to win. But time-wasting activities, and being serious, though, there's nothing wrong with leisure. There's nothing wrong with relaxing. There's nothing wrong with having hobbies. But maybe you have too many hobbies. Maybe you're putting those hobbies in a place that only God should be. You know, what could it be? Are you wasting the precious time which God has given you? Are you not spending enough time with your family? There could be some things you need to take out. Are you not spending enough time in church faithfully? There may be some things you need to take out. Are you not spending enough time with your spouse? Right? Maybe there's some things you need to prune away out of your life. So, well, I'm not sure what those things are. Have you prayed and asked God, God, is there anything that I need to be taken out of my life? Is there anything that you've been whispering through the Holy Spirit in my life, and I've heard it, and I know it, but I just haven't made the decision to do it. I don't know what it could be for you. For some of us, it could be the same thing. For some of us, it could be something different. It could be that you overcommit, and so you don't do really anything well, but you do so many different things. Maybe you need to get rid of some things in your life so you can do certain things very, very well. It could be another area that God wants to prune is this. It could be destructive relationships. It could be destructive relationships. Now, we've heard it said that birds of the feather flock together, right? That we could say, well, I have certain friends, they're not good for me, and I'll just cut them out. And those are that's the kind of more the easy part. It really is. What the hard part, where it comes in to be hard, is when you have destructive relationships that you're related to them, right? So I'm going to cut them out, then I'm going to see them in Thanksgiving.
And then Christmas. And then their son, their daughter's birthday party. It's like, I'm never going to cut this out. And listen, I'm not saying you need to cut family out, though you might have to. But maybe the issue is what you need to prune is you need to create some boundaries. Maybe you need to create some healthy boundaries. Maybe that you're allowing things into you, people to influence and drive a wedge between you and your spouse or you and your kids. And there's some boundaries that need to be set. It's okay to have boundaries. It's okay to tell the in-laws or even your own parents or relatives to go, you know what? This is where the boundary's at. This is what we're going to do. This is what we have agreed upon in our family. You know, those are some of the things, maybe some boundaries that you need to set, that you need to prune, you need to make clear. And if they don't like it and makes them angry, then so be it. Sometimes in life, you got to make people angry, right? That's just what happens. You can still love them, but sometimes you got to say, this is what we're going to do. This is how we're going to do it. And so, man, take out some of those destructive relationships. Put some boundaries there. And if you're not sure, pray about it. Seek the Lord. Seek some counsel, and He will help you. Here's another one. There's going to be other ones, but this is probably the last one here, is sinful behavior. Sinful behavior. You see, God, as He looks at His children, as a awesome, wonderful Heavenly Father, as He looks at us, when He sees sinful behavior, that especially when it's habitual, that it's something continuing in our life that we're not really repenting of. Listen, we have a Heavenly Father. He knows you're not perfect. He knows that we are made of flesh and bone. He knows that. And God's not looking to kick you off to the curb every time that you sin. That's not what He does. But because He loves you, because He cares for you, He wants to maximize your life. He gave you this life. He's given you the time which He's given you. And He wants you to use it wisely. And sin, man, it separates us from the Lord. It builds a wall between us and Him. It breaks down that fellowship, the sweet friendship that we have with the Lord. And so He wants to get rid of it. And there are certain areas that we all have in our life that we are tempted, that we struggle with. And our Heavenly Father knows this. Jesus knows this. He was tempted just like you and I were. Maybe for some, it's the area that you struggle with. Maybe it's your temper. Maybe it's self-control. Maybe it's laziness. Maybe it is around the issue of gossip. Or I don't know what it could be. But He wants to prune it. He wants to get rid of it. What should you do? Confess it. Confess it. Go before the Lord. Confess it to Him. Maybe you need to get someone that you can identify with your struggles. Maybe you get someone who is accountable, that's accountability partner. That could be your wife. It could be your spouse. It could be, I don't know who it could be, but someone that will support you and love you through it and help you. Question is, will you let the Lord prune? Sometimes we're like, God, I got it. God, I'm not going to listen. But here's the thing though, man. Whom the Lord loves, He chastens. Whom the Lord loves, He trains. Whom the Lord loves, He will discipline. And my mother used to tell me this when I was a kid, especially a teenager, the Lord can discipline you far more than I could ever discipline you. There may be things that we may not find out as parents, but God knows. God sees it all, doesn't He? He sees every bit of it. We can't hide from Him. If we think we're hiding from God, listen, God knows everything that we say, think, and do. It's kind of scary sometimes, but yet, guess what? He loves you. He wants to maximize your life for His glory. That's what He wants to do. Don't miss out on all that He has. So ultimately, why does God want to prune you? Why does He want to prune you? Because listen, here's the next point. Jesus wants you productive in what really matters. He wants you productive in what really matters. Maybe you've heard of this before, but about being in the zone. We've heard it in sports. I mean, there's even AutoZone, you know. Be in the zone, AutoZone. Yeah. We hear it in sports with athletes. If it's a basketball player, if he's in the zone, he just can't miss. Everything he throws up, it goes in. A baseball player, you know, maybe you've heard them say before that a 95-mile-per-hour pitch coming down the plate, which is hard to hit, they can see the seams on the ball. It looks like a softball coming at them. It's like they just can't miss. They're in the zone. They're in the zone. When it comes to
the Christian life. There's a zone that we can be in. There's an area in which God wants to bless. But also the opposite can be true. You can see some guys that man, they normally shoot very, very well, but they can't hit the broadside of a barn. I remember one guy, his name's Chris Davis. He's a first baseman for the Orioles. Signed the big old contract. You know, he started off the year like 0-59. It was a record. How would you like that record in baseball? I'm getting paid $27 million to just miss the ball. 0-59. That's crazy. That's what he did. He was definitely not in the zone. And it's the zone that God challenges us to live in. Notice with me verse 4. Jesus says, remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine. You cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. This remain means to abide. It means to dwell. It means to spend time with. And so as we go through our day, we wake up in the morning, we get going, we can be in breakneck speed, trying to get everything done we need to accomplish. And it's like that during this time that we're not allowing God, that we're not abiding in Him. Let me ask you this. During the week, are you abiding with the Lord? Say, preacher, I'm busy. Are you abiding with the Lord? It's good to abide with Him on Sunday, but what about Monday? What about Tuesday? What about the other days of the week? And is God a priority? Because if you don't set time apart, how can you be connected? How can you be connected to the Lord if you're not setting time apart, if you're not abiding with Him? It's not your wife's job. It's not your husband's job. It's not your kid's job to do it for you. It is your job to abide with Him. To abide with Him, to be with Him. Make that part of every day. Have that time. Have that special prayer time. Have that time of being in His Word. But even throughout the day, maybe you have a boring job. What about trying to memorize Scripture as you're doing some of your boring job? Maybe you're just listening to worship music. Maybe there's different ways that you can abide in the Lord in your day of including. Listen, Jesus wants to be included in the details of your day. Maybe for you, maybe when you go work out, maybe you're listening to the Bible. Maybe you have a long drive to work. You can listen to the YouVersion app. You can listen to God's Word. That moment in time of abiding in Him. Or it's listening to, you know, worship music, or when you work out, or whatever you're going to do. You can set time. You can find time to abide with Him during the day. And when you do that, when you make that a part of everything that you do, even in a job maybe you don't even like, He's going to get glory out of that. He's going to get glory out of that. I read a story years ago about a mailman who, on his route, every house, he would pray for that family as he handed put their mail into their mailbox. Sometimes he knew some of the faces that went with the name, but some he never knew for years, but he'd put it in there, he would pray for them. It's just a simple thing. It's a simple thing that he would pray. I think that's a good idea. I think all of our mail people should do that. Here's why. Then we all would get correct mail, right? Like they would read, like, oh, that's not the Cunninghams. The Cunninghams are down the street. This doesn't go here. See, I could save the government millions just that way right there if they all would just pray. I'll write them a letter. That'll work. And maybe they'll do that. I'm just kidding around. But this is what he did. He wants to be included in the in part of their day. And so notice what Jesus says in verse 5. In verse 5, this is what he says. He says, yes, I am the true vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce not some fruit, but much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. We are nothing without Jesus. We are nothing with abiding with Him and being a part of Him. Because as you abide in Him, what happens is this. The nutrients start to flow. The nutrients start to flow. And abiding one day is not going to get the job done, my friend. Abiding day by day, just as it is with a fruit tree or in a vineyard, it starts to grow. It starts to give off fruit. And if you abide and then you disconnect, then you abide and then you disconnect. You abide, then you disconnect. And then you abide
what's going to happen? You're never going to get all the nutrients and what you need to give off the fruit that you need to. Listen, in a vineyard, something that they would do is when they would prune a vineyard, they would prune a vineyard every so often. They do today. Once the vineyard stops, they probably got down to a science, I'm sure, but as with a vineyard and having just a small vineyard in our house growing up, with a vineyard, it starts to get, you know, large and it starts to get plenty of leaves, but little fruit. And you realize, okay, it's time to prune. It's time to prune these vines. And as you prune these vines, what you end up finding out, though, is for 3 years, you get little, usually no fruit at all. In fact, when you first do it, the next year, they look dead. You're like, oh, I killed my vineyard. But as you get more experience in pruning, you realize that the first 3 years, you're not going to get any fruit. You're not getting any fruit. But after the pruning, after some time, after some patience, boom, you have fruit. You have the grapes. You have it in abundance. And listen, there may be times in your walk with God that He prunes you and it is not fun. And you start to question God. God, what's going on here? God, I don't like this. God, this is not what I thought the Christian life would be. God, what are you doing? No one likes to be pruned. But I guarantee anyone worth their salt in their faith has been pruned. And they've thought to themselves, what is going on? But in time, you see the fruit. And you can look back and you go, ah, I see what God did there. I see what He did. He took out that destructive relationship, that person I thought I was going to marry. But looking back, thank God He did that. A sudden change in my job. I can't believe God did that. But in time you see, thank God that He did that. And God, I don't understand this health scare that I had, but it changed my view on enjoying and valuing my health and enjoying the life in which He gave me. And looking back, even though I hated going through it, I thank God for that time, for that pruning. I now see the fruit of that. And God sometimes gives us detours. It's a time of that He is simply pruning so He can get more out of our lives. You see, pruning isn't meant to kill us. Pruning isn't meant to define us. It's meant to propel us, to move us forward, and sometimes make us so fruitful that we know we could never have done that on our own. See, Jesus, He wants to maximize your life. He wants you productive in what really matters. Let me ask you this, and this is just a question for yourself. Are you really productive for the kingdom of God? Are you really being productive? Are you really doing all that God's called you to do? Are you doing what really matters? Because there's things at the end of the day you can look back in your life, or you can look in your life right now, you go, you know what? That was just a complete waste of time. That's something that I thought mattered so much, but in reality, it just really did not matter at all. You see, when Jesus said you will bear fruit, what does that look like? He was referring to the fruits of the Spirit. He's referring that in our lives, there's going to be joy, there's going to be love, there's going to be peace, there's going to be patience, there's going to be kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And so abiding in Jesus, living in His presence throughout the day, causes these qualities to bloom and to grow in you. But you must abide to what is true. Not just abiding to anything, you must abide to the true vine, to Jesus. You see, not only that, the third way that you benefit from being connected to Jesus is that your prayers will be effective. Notice with me in verse 7, it says, "But if you remain in me and the words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want, and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples, and this brings me great glory to my Father." There was some babysitters that ended up watching little Billy.
And so the parents get home after going out to eat and going shopping. They come back, and babysitter, little Billy was great. He was so good. And for bedtime, he kind of gave a little bit of a fight, but he did go to bed when I told him that tomorrow that your parents would have a pony for you. What would you want to do that, babysitter? Right? What are you doing? But no, you wouldn't hit him. But a pony, what's going to have to happen? The next morning, the parents are going to have to tell little Billy, no pony. No pony, not going to happen. Not going to happen. And so when we come to such a Bible verse that says, if you ask for it, you're going to get it. Sometimes it's easy to go, you know what, I'm just going to kind of explain that. That's not really what's going to happen. But what Jesus said is what he said. He didn't say, I'm not going to do that. No, he is going to do. And so when we abide in Jesus Christ, when we abide in him, the result is this, is that we know what to pray for. We know what to pray for. And so he said what he said. And when you're not constantly abiding in Christ, it's hard to know what to ask for because we're not sure what we should have or what we shouldn't have. And we end up being in conflict in our desires. You ever done that before? I have. My God, well, I feel this way, but then I feel this way. And you're kind of like, what do I do with this? The conflict. What's going on? You're not abiding in Christ. When you're not abiding, you're not always sure what to ask for. And I'm thankful that the Holy Spirit does help us in our prayers. He helps communicate sometimes what we need. And so we do have our Lord helps us. But when you begin to abide in Christ, you'll experience a change from within and your desire will be completely overhauled. Here's some things that happen. When you're abiding in Christ, your desire for material things, it takes a nosedive. And I think the reason is this, is that you realize that they're put in their proper place. And that what you once thought was so good and so great, it's just not really worth it. Imagine for a moment 20 years ago, someone got put in prison for stealing a bunch of VCRs. VCRs. Now people are like, here's my VCR. Take it. Get rid of it. But you remember 20 years ago, there were certain things that were valuable. I remember working at Circuit City, it'd been about 20 years ago. And man, just looking at all these big screen TVs, and I thought, man, I want one of those bad boys. I can't wait until one day I have enough money to buy one of those. Well, now they're at the end of everyone's driveway, right? Just trying to free, as is usually what it says, on those huge, large, big screens. You see, my point is this, is that material things take a nosedive because you realize you can't take it with you. And at the end of the day, what you once thought was valuable, what you once thought was great, even in technology, nothing wrong with technology, you realize it just does not last. Here's the other thing that it does. So when you're abiding in Christ, your prayers become less self-serving. Yeah, prayer time is definitely a time to ask God. It's definitely a time to praise God. It's to thank God. It becomes less self-serving because you end up becoming more about the gospel, about the kingdom. Listen, in your prayer time, and sometimes we can do this here at church, and we should pray for people who are sick, who are hurting, who are grieving. By all means, that's definitely a part of what we do as a church. I don't want to minimize that at all. But church, if all we do in our connection groups is pray for sick people, what are we doing? Seriously, if we're only praying for sick people, what are we doing? We need to be praying for the lost who are around us. We need to be kingdom-minded and think, okay, we need to be praying. So listen, connection groups, get praying. Definitely pray for those who are sick. Definitely pray for those who are grieving, by all means, who have gotten a bad report. But we need to do that. But don't miss out on praying for people to come to Jesus Christ. Are we really abiding if we're missing out on that part? Because we're called to be fruitful. We're called to multiply. That's what we're called to do. And see, when you're abiding and you grow and you mature in Christ, you look at everything completely different. You have an eternal perspective instead of just thinking on the here and now. You think about, okay, how the decisions I make right now, how will it affect
Eternity. How would it affect? In fact, you could look at this life this way. That this life is a prepping ground for the next one. That's what it is. You see, what happens is if we come to God and we just are not abiding and we're asking for whatever we want and asking, and Scripture warns against this, of asking upon our own lust. He won't answer our prayers if we're asking upon our own lust. It's like a kid who just wants to eat candy, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Right? Candy, 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 candy. What happens? We know their teeth are going to rot out of their head. Right? We know that's not good for them. That's not healthy for them. And so the miracle is this. The miracle is not only the answered prayer. The miracle is it is in the change that God will work in the desires of your heart. And that's what I've noticed about prayer. Prayer changes me. It's just not about asking. It's about letting God, it's about abiding in Him so He can work on me to make me what I should be. And the result is this. And don't miss this. I'm going to end with this. It's in verse 9. So the first 8 verses point to 9 through 17. And I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. Abide with me. Remain in me. And when you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. And this is my commandment. Love each other the same way I have loved you. And there is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. And you are my friends if you do what I command. And if I no longer call you slaves because a master doesn't confine in his slaves, you are my friend since I have told you everything the Father told me. And you didn't choose me, I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit. So the Father will give you whatever you ask using my name. And this is my command. Love each other. So the result of being connected, this is the result. Some of you this morning, you need joy. And you're wondering, why don't I have joy in my Christian life? Here's why. Verse 11 tells us. Verse 11, I have told you these things that that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. Your joy will overflow even when you get bad news. Your joy will overflow even when you're not happy. Yeah. Your joy will overflow when things are not always going your way. You can have a joy-filled Christian life. How do you do this? By abiding in Jesus Christ. That's how. That's how. And the result will be this, is a love for other people around you. Maybe you're here this morning like, I just don't like being around people. You know what the issue is? You're not abiding in Christ. Because 13 tells us, there's no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. He says, the command, love each other. It wasn't a suggestion. It was command. It was a command, and when Jesus gives a command, he doesn't care about your feelings. Amen? There may be people in church that you don't like. Well, you don't have to like them, but you got to love them. Amen? You're called to love them. Here's the thing we see. We have a friend in Jesus. And in this culture, so many people move around. There's many lonely people in our world, even in our own town, even in our own church. They're lonely. When you abide in Christ, my friend, you have a friend in Jesus Christ. And last but not least, you have a life that produces lasting fruit, not just fruit, but lasting fruit. And that's the result of abiding with Him, of loving Him. And when you abide with Him, He'll do more with your life than you could ever do. At the end of your days, you'll look back and you go, wow. Look what God has done. It's a wonderful thing.
Thank you for listening to today's sermon. To find out more about Southside Baptist and our ministry, visit our website, southsidenow.church. Until we meet again, have a great week.